to the other. Now, what Jesus shared here is paramount. It's important for us to understand because we live in a culture where we get a lot of different messages, and many times those messages are confusing. Many times those messages don't have a foundation in truth. And so we have to be aware of what the Bible teaches about love if we're going to obey Jesus' commandment to love. Notice that he gave him a commandment. Did you know a commandment is a little bit different than a suggestion? See, Moses came down from Mount Sinai with 10 commandments. It wasn't 10 suggestions. Okay. Now, granted, I know that we don't live under the law, but Jesus did give us one commandment in the New Testament, and it was love. Now, that word love can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. But love is something that's important. All of us desire to be loved. Have you ever wondered why people spend so much money on their pets? Does anybody here have a dog? Anybody have a cat? I have a dog. I love my dog. But my love for my dog only goes so far. Are you with me? Do you know why people love animals so much? You ever think about it? For the most part, your dog's not going to give you any trouble. Your cat's not going to give you any trouble. Now, granted, they're the natural things that you have to take care of. They'll get into things, make messes, etc. But you can live with a dog for 15 years if the dog will live that long, and that dog will rarely give you any trouble. First of all, they don't talk back. Are you with me? People love their animals, but how does that relate to us as believers? What does it have to do with what Jesus commanded? I'm telling you, that woman had a sweet voice. I will always love you. Those are words we all endeavor to hear in one form or another in our lives. But what does that mean? Now, here's the thing that we have to understand. We live in a culture that if we're not careful, if we don't do things properly, our ideas, our belief system will be formed by the culture rather than God. Now, yesterday at our men's breakfast, we talked about honor. And one of the things that is so obvious is that many times successful men and successful women will not pass on what they've learned to their children. In other words, their kids don't get it. Either because the parents didn't teach it, or they didn't get it from God. And so it's important that as parents, we teach our kids about honor, about integrity, about faithfulness. Because if you don't, they're going to try to learn these things from the culture, and the messages can be confusing. And if you're not careful, you'll get in trouble. It's important that we understand this, otherwise our children are going to have their belief system formed by the culture. Now, we're in John chapter 13. Turn over to John chapter 15. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another." And then he said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, because you have love one to another." John chapter 15. Verse 12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another." Notice this, "as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends." Go down to verse 17. These things I command you, that you love one another. Now, we have a commandment to love as Jesus loved. And so we have an example, we have a standard, we have a measure that we can go by. And the word for love here is the Greek word agape, which is different than any other word that's translated love. And that's one of the unfortunate things about the New Testament. One word in English is translated love, but yet there are five or six different words in the Greek, and they all mean something a little bit different. And when you hear the word love in our culture, you need to drill down and find out what's really being said. Stay in your pew now, Cheryl. Crazy in love. What does that mean? What does that mean to a 13, 14-year-old with hormones flying every which way but loose? That's where the environment of a Christian family comes into play, and we can teach the truth about what real love is. Now, just in case any of you, have become offended, there is no scriptural prohibition against secular music. Did you hear what I said? There is no scriptural prohibition against secular music. Jesus did say this, though. Take heed what you hear. He did not say, take heed how you hear. He said, take heed what you hear. It's not the media that's the problem. It's the message in the media that's the problem. It's not the music. It's the message. I'll say that one more time. It's not the music. It's the message. The time. Look, I got you all swaying, boy. I will share this with you. Last year, my wife and I had an opportunity to go see Roberta Flack and Peabo Bryson in concert for Youth Opportunities Unlimited benefit in Cleveland, Ohio. And Roberta Flack, I'm telling you, the woman can still sing. She can still play. She has some issues. She has some difficulties physically. But I'm telling you, that voice is just as smooth as ever. And Peabo, that boy can sing. That's all I'm going to say. But it was wonderful. Now, what has that got to do with what Jesus said? The important thing that we need to understand is that when people say love or making love, they're not talking about the same thing that Jesus said. Jesus said, this is my commandment that you love, agape one another. Now, what Roberta was singing about was something totally different. And many times we have to understand that love goes deeper than emotion and feeling. Agape goes deeper than emotion and feeling. It's not the music, it's the message. You know, the Apostle Paul was sharing the gospel in the book of Acts, and he quoted the poets of the day. He said, "And some of your own poets have said." And so he was aware of the culture and used the culture as a basis to connect with the people that he was sharing the gospel with. And so we've got to be just as smart as the Apostle Paul was. And so we can't just totally reject the culture. We have to find a way to connect with the culture so that we can share the right message. You're right, me. Now, this love that Jesus talked about is deeper than emotion and feeling. Now, the message is real important because, you know, the music can sound good. I've had people say, "Well, you know, I like the beat." That's cool. We all like beats, you know. But you better listen to what's being said, because what's being said is forming your belief system. What's being said is determining the way you respond to situations in life. Pat's my partner for this message this morning. Let me ask you a question. No, don't raise your hand. That song has gotten many a dude in trouble. Are you with me? If you can't be with the one you love, then love the one you're with. Well, that's not the love that Jesus was talking about. Are you with me? Jesus was not talking about eros, erotic love. He was talking about a love that expects nothing in return, a love that will lay down its life, a love that is unconditional. And so we've got to understand the difference between the two. Now, here's where our responsibility in part comes in as parents, grandparents, aunties, uncles. We've got to not only understand what this agape, God kind of love is, but we've got to be able to exhibit it, to put it on display so that we can teach it to those around us. Are you with me? And, you know, it's something because you got a lot of competition with the culture. See, I'm playing some old school stuff for the most part, other than Beyonce, right? It's pretty much old school. But we all know these songs. Now, this next one I had some fun with. Go ahead, Pat. So much I guarantee you, we got to be the only church in the country playing Let's Get It on Sunday morning. Okay, Pat, you can fade that out. I guarantee you, there's nobody else playing Marvin Gaye this morning. Let's get it on. I had fun with this song when my wife and I got married at our wedding reception. Some of y'all were there. And Timmy Mack decided to. I didn't know what song he was going to play, so it was garter time. He popped this song on. I had fun with it, and a good friend from California is having fun with this song. He's yelling, "It's legal now, Pastor! It's legal now!" I'm like, "Oh Lord!" Hey, Marvin said it. There is nothing wrong with you giving yourself to me. If the love is true, Marvin sang it, it must be so. Wrong. That's not the love that Jesus was talking about. Are you with me?
Yes.
There again, we need to frame our belief system based on the Word of God, based on the Spirit of God, not the culture. Are you with me? But I'm sure Marvin made millions off off that song. And we all identify with it. But we have to understand that this love that I'm talking about goes deeper.
Amen.
Now, turn with me in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. It's interesting that John has so much to say about love. And if you'll remember, I did a message, I think about a year and a half ago, about the Apostle John. If you'll remember, he is the one that Jesus entrusted the care of his mother to. When he was on the cross, he said, "Woman, behold your son," and said to John, "Behold your mother." Here's the thing that we have to understand. Jesus had other family members. He had other brothers and sisters. And they were still living at the time. But yet, rather than entrust the care of his mother to his family, he entrusted the care of Mary to John. And Mary moved with John to Ephesus. They lived out their days in Ephesus. And John lived to be a very old man, well into his 90s before he went to be with the Lord. But, you know, John knew something about love. But notice 1 John chapter 4. We'll look at two verses. Notice verse 8. "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Notice, he that loveth not, or he that doesn't love, doesn't know God. Because God is love. God is agape. Listen, love is not what God does. Love is who God is. And for us as believers to declare that we know God, then we must walk in love. Notice verse 16. "And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him." And so there is a dynamic there. When we come into relationship with Jesus Christ, the Bible says that the love of God is shed abroad on our hearts by the Holy Ghost, Romans 5:5. And that love from within needs to begin to be developed so that it can impact us out here where we live. Now, what happens is, oftentimes, people don't have an understanding of the love of God, don't understand relationship with Jesus and how it impacts our lives, and so they develop their belief system based on the culture. And for a lot of men and women, all they know about love is what they heard in a song. That's all they know about love, is what they heard in a song. And they live their life by their emotions and by their feelings, and it gets them in trouble. See, if you're not careful, if you don't have a firm foundation of the love of God in your life, you can go from crazy in love to "I've lost that love and feeling" within a week. Why? Because you don't have a foundation. Everything you know about love, you learned in a song. You know, it's unfortunate. I've done a lot of counseling with couples, you know, and there have been times I've heard people say, "Well, you know, Pastor, I just fell out of love." No, you didn't. No, you didn't. "Well, I just don't have that love and feeling anymore. Love's not a feeling in the first place." You with me? "Well, I've just lost that love." No, no. The Bible says, because of iniquity, that the love of men would wax cold. Iniquity will cause you to shift into a position where that love that you did exhibit is now cold. But it's not the love that's the problem. It's the iniquity that's the problem. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. And so love's not a feeling. I don't care how you feel. I often tell people, you know, I've had guys say to me, "Oh, Pastor Bill, she's cute." I said, "You better get more than cute." Because cute don't last always. You better have more than cute, you know, or they got this or they got that. Well, you need more than that. You need a foundation of the love of God in your life. Because if you don't, you're going to be in trouble. All right, here's our last one. But a second-hand emotion. Okay, thank you, Pat. Now, here's what I love so much. Most of us know the words to all these songs. We've got these songs down, boy. It's just, I'm serious. Now, why? Because our culture has such a pervasive impact on the way we think. And if we're not careful, the culture can invade our thinking and we don't even realize. We're singing the words of the man, we got this stuff down. You know what? Your kids are the same way. You need to know what they're listening to. Because that stuff's going down into their inner man. And it's affecting their belief system and the way they relate to people. You with me? So we've got to know more. Now, turn with me in your Bibles. Matthew chapter 5. You guys having fun with this? Amen. All right. Matthew chapter 5. Yeah, I told my wife yesterday, what's love got to that was Tina's comeback song.
Yeah.
Put her back on the map. Are you with me? Matthew chapter 5, we'll pick up in verse 43. Notice what Jesus said. You have heard that it has been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans do so? Be ye therefore perfect as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now, this is kind of a strong statement, but Jesus is letting us know that the kind of love that he commanded us to walk in is something that goes far beyond what most people think love does. Most people think love relates to those who respond in kind. In other words, if you love me, we're cool. We're brothers, we're sisters, we're in. But if you hate me, you're out. If you're my enemy, I'll treat you like an enemy. Jesus said, no, love your enemies. That goes far beyond what our normal concept of love is. Pray for those who persecute you. What? Pray for them. Pray for them. This love goes deeper than an emotion or a feeling or responding to somebody in kind. I've often shared the story when I caught a guy many, many, many years ago stealing some things, and I took them away from him and kind of embarrassed him in front of his buddies, and the fella started talking about my mother. It's 2:30 in the morning. I'm tired. I'm going to Bible college at the time. I'm working nights in this convenience store chain. And this fella's talking about my mama. And for some reason, like the hair on the back of my neck stood up. I wanted to take this guy and beat the snot out of him. Come on, you felt the same way, Dr. Renata. I wanted to take this guy apart. But on the inside of me, something was compelling me. That's not the way agape responds. You've got to love him. I didn't want to love him. I didn't feel like loving him. He was saying some horrible things about my mother. He didn't know my mother, never met my mother, never would meet my mother. But you don't talk about a guy's mama. And I literally had to hold on to the counter, like I'm holding on to this podium, and bite my lip and say under my breath, no, in Jesus' name, I love him. Because I wanted to knock him smooth out. But that was one of the biggest challenges I had. Hanging onto that counter, saying under my breath, no, I forgive him and I love him. Because the one thing the Lord had shared with me, the Holy Spirit had shared with me, here I'm working in a high crime neighborhood, you know, third shift. The Lord let me know something. He said, I'll protect you if you love people. In other words, if I love people, they can't hurt me. And I worked in a neighborhood 2.5 years, never got robbed, never had a fight, never had anything of mine stolen. And people wondered, how in the world did that happen? That was God. But I knew I had to walk a certain way. Now, Jesus told us what we needed to do with this love. Turn with me now to 1 Corinthians 13. We're almost wrapping up here. Okay, we've had a little fun. You guys good? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, please don't go out of here today and tell all your church friends, ooh, man, they was playing Let's Get It On in service this morning at MGCC. They done lost their mind. No, let's keep it in context, okay? Everybody good? Yeah. All right. If you're offended at what I did this morning, don't leave here and jib-jab. Come find me after service. I'll straighten you out. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you got it, say, I got it. All right. Notice what the Scripture says. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Now here, what Paul by the Holy Spirit is doing is giving us the attributes of love. Here's what the love that Jesus commanded us to walk in, here's what it does. Here's how it responds. Here's how it acts. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love vaunts not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Now, it's very interesting that the Holy Spirit saw fit to put this exposition about agape and the love of God and sandwich it right in between 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and 1 Corinthians chapter 14, which talks about the proper operation of the vocal gifts of the Spirit. Why does he talk about love right in the middle? You know why? Because love is the fuel. Love is the catalyst that makes it all work. You can be as gifted as you want to be. If you don't walk in this kind of love, it's not going to be effective. You can have all of the knowledge and wisdom and grace that God gives, but if you don't exercise it with love, it's not going to work. And that is why we've had areas of failure in the church. Because people didn't understand this basic foundational principle. It's all based on agape. Yes. See, if I love you, I'm not going to try to take advantage of you. Let me say that again. If I love you, I won't try to take advantage of you. Amen. See, the true test of love is not how you respond to people in authority above you. The true test of love is how you treat people who may be in a position below you that you could take advantage of. Amen. But love believes the best of every person and endeavors to bring the best out of every person. And so we've got to understand how this thing works. I mean, it's like having a Ferrari. You can have the best tires. You can have the best brakes. You can have the best suspension system. You can have the most powerful engine. But if you got no gas in the tank, you're going nowhere. Love is the fuel. Love is the fuel that makes the kingdom of God work. Love is the fuel that makes your family work. Yes. Love is the fuel that makes your job work successfully. You can apply these principles anywhere. But if you have no fuel in the tank, you're going nowhere. Are you with me? The fuel is what makes it go. Love is the motivation for the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. How many times in the Scripture have we seen the Scripture where it says, Jesus was moved with compassion? That doesn't mean he had a feeling. If you look up the word compassion in the dictionary, it says to be full of eager yearning, to pity, and it paints a picture of an emotional response to somebody's crisis. But every time Jesus was moved with compassion, somebody got healed, somebody got delivered, or somebody's life was changed. He was never moved with compassion and something didn't happen. You want to know why we don't have more manifestations of the Holy Spirit in our midst? It's not because of the Holy Ghost. It's not understanding the love. Not understanding that foundation. Not having the fuel in the tank. Are you with me? This is what is paramount for the church. That's why Jesus emphasized it. And we've got to understand what this love is and get our information from God instead of from our culture. Amen. Turn with me now to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll close with this. You guys have been so good and so patient. You let me experiment on you a little bit. Brought back memories for some of you. You know, it's always my wife and I talk about this all the time. And I'll take just a moment. But we'll encounter people who, when it comes to worship and the things of God, they're so stiff. They're so reserved. You know, but let me put Marvin Gaye on. Boy, all of a sudden, the stiffness goes out. Or Roberta Flack. Or who? Frankie Beverly. Yeah. Frankie Beverly. There again, no prohibition against secular music. It's the message, not the media. Are you with me? Now, just for your information, there is a lot of Christian music that I don't listen to. You know why? It's not based in truth. It's full of doubt and unbelief, in tradition that is unscriptural. May as well listen to the Beach Boys. Amen. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let me catch up with you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Are you there? Yeah. All right. Notice verse 9. Here Paul, writing to the Thessalonian church, said it, "But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves," notice this, "are taught of God to love one another. And indeed, you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Now, he's simply letting us know that because we are believers in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us, and as I said before, he dwells in us, that simply means that he has come to make his permanent residence in us, and he has unpacked all of his stuff and put it in our drawers. That means that the love of God is on the inside of us. And if you're in Christ Jesus, that love will impact the way you live. God will teach you how to love others if you will listen to him. And he teaches you from the inside out. He teaches you through the Word. He will teach you through life experience how to love. Many times they're hard lessons to learn because it goes contrary to what our flesh wants to do. I often talked about the little fellow who called me dummy one day. I rang something up, I made a mistake, and I said, it's $349, and this thing happened to be on sale for $299, and right in front of everybody in the store, he said, it's on sale for $299, dummy. And I looked at him, and he was a smaller stature than me, and everybody behind me heard what he said, and they turned around to see what I was going to do, because they all knew I was a Christian, they all knew what I was about. They all stopped, turned around to see what I was going to do. Man said, it's on sale for $2.99, dummy. And I heard these words. One shot, you can take him out. I did. I heard it. It's like they went across the ticker tape in my mind. One shot, you can take him out. And I looked at him, and my right fist probably started to tense up a little bit. But on the inside of me, I knew that I had to respond with agape. And so I looked at him, and I said, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Let me correct that for you. And all the guys behind me were standing watching because they'd have slapped this fellow. Now, I could have slapped him. What would have happened had I slapped him? Well, does that mean I don't know God? No. That means I just made a mistake. Does it mean that I'm out of the will of God? Yeah, in that moment, sure. Does it mean that I could have some potential problems? Yeah, you know. But I didn't respond that way. Now, have I always responded with agape? No, neither have you. Don't look at me in that religious tone. Amen? But this is where we have to learn. And God will teach us how to love from the inside out. That's why it's important that we be led by the Spirit from within. Amen. When something happens in life or someone says something or does something, don't respond with emotion or feeling. Step back and listen for that still small voice on the inside. And it's not the kind of thing that you have to think, well, what would Jesus do? No, just do what comes natural from the inside out. Walk in love. You don't always have to be right. You don't always have to win. You don't always have to be the guy with the last word. Well, that's something that's tough for men to realize. Boy, you know, men love to brag and love to talk about their exploits. Well, you don't have to be the king, the champ, or any of those things. Just be yourself. Are you with me? There were many times Jesus had a crowd and slipped away. He wasn't looking for the accolades of men or people, but he always sought to do the will of God. Amen? Did you learn anything about love today? Did you have a little fun this morning? Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please?